We're going to start now, We're going to start now, halachas of, and the inyanim of tefillah. We went, Baruch Hashem, through Hilchos Shabbos, I think, you know, we covered a lot. It took us a while, about 2 years. Abdullah.
By the way, I've never seen anybody do it right.
I remember still one of my mates. Anyway, you don't go to the waxes for Abdullah, apparently. So we're going to do now the inyanim of tefillah. Now, in order to understand some of the halachas of tefillah, you have to understand a little bit what is unique about tefillah. Because if tefillah is just like another mitzvah, it's another mitzvah you do. You do lulav, you do megillah, you do tefillah. So you may be going with the wrong attitude. So therefore, some of the halachas won't necessarily make sense. The tefillah is the most basic part of Yiddishkeit, because tefillah is our relationship with Hashem. Tefillah is where our relationship with Hashem expresses itself. That's the Ramchal writes and Rosh Moshe Pinchas writes. It's a relationship. It's a dialogue. You're talking, but Hashem is listening. He's not just, you know, there, but he's listening to your tefillah. It's our way to communicate to Hashem, and therefore the whole relationship, our whole relationship with Hashem, is based on our tefillah. Rav Pinchas writes that if a person, he says, one of the first things before even you try to, let's say, have kavanah or whatever about the tefillah, is you have to prepare yourself, because you have to, in order for you to have kavanah and you know to have a good tefillah, you also have to have Hashem listening on the other side. So how are you going to know if Hashem's listening on the other side? You have to prepare yourself and show Hashem you're taking it seriously. He's going to be there to listen. But if not, you could have kavanah, but he's not listening. It's a two-part thing here. It's not just you do the mitzvah, but you have to be engaging Hashem and listening. So you have to show that you're taking it seriously. You have to prepare yourself. You have to do it right. And therefore, we're going to see, like, for example, just to give you an example, the fact that it's tefillah is when you're standing in front of Hashem, right? You're standing in front of Hashem. You're talking to Hashem. So there's halachas based on that. It's not just a musar. You know, for example, the halacha is that theoretically speaking, a person, you're allowed to say kriyashma or brachas, or you're allowed to say kriyashma if you're not wearing a shirt. You're wearing shorts, no shirt, whatever, and you're playing, and you're whatever the circumstance may be, but you're allowed to make a bracha. You're allowed to say kriyashma even. No, if you're wearing pants, then you don't have to cover your heart, no. You're allowed to say kriyashma and brachas and everything. But shmonesra, you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say tefillah without a shirt, because you're standing in front of Hashem. You can't go in front of the king without a shirt on. So this halacha is based on this understanding of tefillah. That tefillah is not just, you know, another mitzvah. It's our relationship with Hashem. It's the basic, you know, tenet of our relationship with Hashem. And you're standing and communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it's one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, one of the Yud Gimel Midas Ikrim of Emunah, is that Hashem listens to our tefillah. Okay, so it's very, very important. Now, another thing is that if you don't do it right, the way the halacha says to do it, then why you can't expect Hashem to listen, right? Like the Nefesh HaChaim says, that people get all caught up with the inyanim of the mitzvahs. I asked someone. So he was becoming a Baal Tshuva, and he was involved with certain people, teaching him things and stuff like that. So I asked him, about sukkahs or whatever. I said, we were in someone's sukkah, and it was a beautiful sukkah. So it was a gorgeous sukkah. So I said, do you think it's a nice thing to make a nice sukkah? It's more comfortable, like, you know, you could do the mitzvah better. It's a nice sukkah, you're more comfortable, it's better. She said, yeah, I think it's very good to make a nice sukkah because you'll be happy. You'll be able to make people happy. So what if doing making people happy? I mean, it's nice to make people happy, but that's not the point. The point is figure out what the mitzvah. You have to know what the mitzvah is, and you have to do with the parameters of the mitzvah. It's like when Nefesh HaChaim says a person learns all that shofar, and shofar accomplishes tremendous things in the olamos, and you do great things when you blow the shofar. You can manage to break down all the mechitzas, whatever. So he takes the shofar. And he blows it, and he's wondering, like, why isn't he feeling it? Why isn't it, you know, there? And then, you know, he realizes because it's Shavuos, it's not Rosh Hashanah, you know. Shavuos doesn't do it. It's when you do the mitzvah, it does it. So if a person is doing all the tefillah, and, you know, it's all, he's all into it, and he's like, why isn't this, I don't feel it. Sometimes, if you're not doing the halachas, and you're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done, then it's not falling within the parameters of the tefillah. Okay, so it's very important to come to the tefillah with the proper halachas, and do everything properly, and then you'll have the haftacha that, you know, you're trying your best, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there. So here, make room for the Eitan. So that's why it's very important. I think it's a good idea for us to go through the halachas properly, and the idea of this. So I'll give you one akdama, and then we're gonna go primarily according to the seder of the Shulchan Aruch, the halachas that come up in that seder, because there's different ways to organize it. But I just saw one thing here in the akdama to the seder Agra. He says that there are 10 things that help a person with their kavanah. There are 10 factors that help a person with kavanah. So I'm just going to speak it out because it's interesting, and then we'll start with the halachas. But again, eventually, hopefully, we'll talk about the kavanah and how to have the kavanah and how to take it seriously. But I'll just speak this out. So he says the first thing is that in addition to if a person wants to improve their tefillah and make their tefillah better. Says the first thing is you have to learn more Torah also. He says the first why. So because what we're saying, because tefillah is a relationship with Hashem. The more a person is involved in other mitzvahs, then the more his tefillah will be better. Because so the way you work on tefillah, you don't work on tefillah, you work on everything else. If you work on everything else, then your tefillah will automatically be better. It's a siddur agra. So it's not the Vilna Gaon, I'm saying over from the Shalah. He brings that from the Shalah. So he says, the more a person...
Is there a translated version?
Of what? No, why?
No.
Why?
No, I'm just curious.
Because I said over from the... I use the Siddur a lot. But here, it's a very interesting thing he says. He says, the idea of tefillah is your relationship with Hashem. So the more a person's involved in that relationship, the rest of the day, he's doing mitzvahs, he's doing more tzedakah, he's thinking about other people, he's involved, he opens the sefer, he's learning a little bit more. So then, he's more involved with the Kodesh Baruch Hu the rest of the day. He comes to the tefillah, okay, so the relationship is there. So then you can communicate. If you don't have the relationship the rest of the day, you come just to tefillah, so then it's going to be harder to break it down. So he says the first thing a person does to improve the tefillah is improve his general relationship with Hashem through Lima. He says the first thing is Limud HaTorah. That's the first thing. He says pretty interesting, but also it's based on this understanding. You know, tefillah is our communications, our relationship with Hashem. So the second one is interesting. Is Chiddush. Also, Meir Shiva used to say this. Also, is that the whole day. There are things happening to us. Hopefully good things. But there's not a moment that goes by that we're not thankful that, you know, what's going on. But for sure, over the course of a day, we could think of things that happened that was good for me today, right? Or that's something that, or even if it's not good for me, but I'm going through something now that I could use help with, right? So every tefillah, a person can think of one new thing that they didn't think about the tefillah before that will help them. That's what he says, the chiddush. Think about something, either something that, you know, I didn't think about that last time, how, you know, I'm thankful about this thing, but you know what? This tefillah I'm going to think about that I'm thankful for that inyan. So modim, I'm going to have that in mind. Or this tefillah, you know, I'm about to have a meeting this afternoon or whatever. So this tefillah, I'm going to think about that and ask especially for that. If a person goes, it doesn't have to be every bracha. Ideally, he says, ideally it's every bracha, but we're not on the madriga every bracha. But a person could think of one inyan, every tefillah that it's different from the one before. So there's a freshness there. And you'll always be able to be refreshing yourself and thinking about a new thing that will help your tefillah. The other thing is, feel the need for tefillah. That, you know, just because whatever you have now, he's saying I'm not getting it automatically. You have to realize that there's a need for it. And then he continues and he says, the language you should add. You could daven in your own language, in the language you understand. He actually says two things which are interesting here. He says you shouldn't move around too much in your davening. Shouldn't shuffle too much, he says. This is the Shalah. that's very interesting.
You mean that by moving around or walking?
I don't know. He says, it's very interesting. But he says not to move. He says stand still. And whatever, this is different things he said, goes on. But the first couple of ranges, he says also you should just talk quietly, you shouldn't talk loud. People that yell during davening is, you know, it becomes a little bit superficial. And then preparing and all this. But anyway, the first few ideas were interesting, I thought, that in general, you know, that would that help the tefillah. Okay. So, with this in mind, let's start the halachas, okay? So, we're going to go in the order, like I said, we're going to go in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll, as they come up in the Shulchan Aruch. So
what about those 10 things? Are we going to go through them?
Yeah, so, I didn't quite finish them. But one of them is
something new.
Well, I said something new. Torah, the feeling, the need, understanding the words. That you know, we could discuss a different time. Moving around.
Moving around.
Your position. How you position yourself. You should position yourself in a way that you'll be able to concentrate. You should come on time. He says. Because if you're rushing the whole time, you're always catching up. You can never figure out what you're doing. On time could mean early, if you know. But give yourself enough time. In my sense, I just saw, interestingly, by the way, Shlomo Zalman says a very interesting shaila. Let's say a person has a choice. He doesn't know where he should go. He could go to a minyan that's his pace. He'll be able to daven and keep up. But then he's going to have to leave early. Or come late, whatever. He doesn't have enough time to go to that minyan. That minyan is a 1 hour minyan. For him to daven, with what he can daven is with that minyan. But he doesn't have an hour in the morning. But at least whatever he'll be there for, he'll be able to keep up with the minyan. Or go to a quicker minyan, but he'll be able to stay for the whole thing. But we won't be able to daven as well.
First one.
But he's going to have to always leave early. So listen to this. So Shlomo Zalman says you should go to the slow one. And daven whatever you can daven with the minyan at your pace, if that works for you. And leave early, but...
Finish up.
What?
Finish up.
No, but... What? But you should tell the people in the minyan why you're leaving early. Tell everyone else, I don't have enough time, but I'm coming because of this reason. Otherwise, people are going to start leaving early also. That's what he says. Everyone's going to start leaving early. So, yeah, that's what Shlomo Zalman writes there. He says, you should do that, but you should tell people why you're doing it.
That's a good point. If a whole minyan, nobody ever left early, people would be a lot more hesitant to leave early. People would feel a lot more comfortable.
There's a story,
my Rebbe used to say,
somebody would come in late, stop in and race out, so somebody said, what a chutzpah, you come in late, you leave early. And he says, you have a very sick child at home, but I could only be gone so long, so I want to race over at least Dobbin Shoshan. And all of a sudden, the whole
exactly.
thing is different.
Exactly.
That's it's coming early, it's coming late, leaving
exactly.
early.
No, but Shlomo Zalman saying, the risk involved in that is like you're saying. Like my Rebbe used to say, like all the boys, you have your tefillin, you have your sitter in your tefillin. So he's like, somehow, till Shmoneh Esrei, the sitter is like all used. After Shmoneh Esrei, the sitter gets all, you know, it's in much better condition. You know, everyone like somehow sneaking out at the end. But, okay, so now, okay, so let's go through, let's start one or two halachas. So the first thing is a little controversial issue, especially here, but controversial, this is a little interesting, is what's the proper zman for tefillah, for shachas? What's the proper zman that you're supposed to daven? So the Gemara says that the ideal time is with the Netzachama, right? That's not real. Why? Because your Zriza Magdim, in the first moment possible that you could daven, the first thing you start your day with is davening.
Before 11 or 11.
What? Yeah. So that's obvious. That's Kivasikin. Kivasikin means that's the people that are medaktik b'mitzvahs, they do it that way. But okay. Now, the latest time to do it, and from then till 4 hours of the day, which is a third of the morning. So, you know, not a third of the morning, a third of the day. A third of the day is till 4 hours is the Zman Tefillah. Now, the question here, which comes up a lot in Florida, we're getting into the winter, and the question which is here is how early can you daven?
This week is special.
Because this week we didn't change the clock yet. And this week, what, Nate's is
27,
right. So anyone that's davening early, so what's the deal with davening before the Nate's? So Lamaisa, the halacha is like this. If you have no reason to daven before the Nate's, it's an interesting type of halacha, because the halacha is that really this man of the Nates. B'di'eved, you're yotzei before the Nates. You are yotzei before b'di'eved. However, it's interesting because it's one of these halachas which you don't find very often. If you're in a rush or whatever, if you need to daven before the Nates, then you're allowed to l'chatchila. It's not b'di'eved anymore. It's only b'di'eved if you don't need to. So it's like an interesting thing. If you don't need to, then it's b'di'eved.
Dynamical.
Right. But if you need to, then you're l'chatchila allowed to daven from the Alos HaShachar. Now, even Alos HaShachar, the strict definition of Alos HaShachar is dawn, which the strict definition of Alos HaShachar is 72 minutes before the Nates, which would mean you could daven Shemoneh Esrei by 72 minutes, 6:15. You could daven Shemoneh Esrei, we're talking. Theoretically speaking. However, Mishnah Berurah says it's not from the Alos. Really, the Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch is Alos and it's Heyer HaShachar. Heyer HaMizrach. It means that some of the eastern sky has already started to become light. So if it's totally pitch dark out, Mishnah Berurah says that's not really the Alos yet. So I don't know when that happens here. It probably happens later. It doesn't happen right away.
There's degrees.
What?
There's different degrees.
Right. So really, the Alos is 16 degrees. It's 16 degrees.
16.1 degrees is Alos.
What?
Degrees.
The sun goes around 360 degrees a day. So we're talking about 18 degrees. You know, 16
degrees. And then they have Talos and Tefillin at 11.5 degrees.
Okay. Right. So we'll have to get to Talos and Tefillin, right? So if a person's not, now they call this Shachris is who was Misakin Shachris? Avram Avinu. So that's by the Nates. See, that before the Nates, they said this that's Terach's minion. That was before Avram. that's Terach's minion. But someone told me that the daven in this minyan, he said, on Monday Thursday you only get an aliyah if you and your father have one name. They don't have time to call you up. Either you or your father have two names. Aaron ben Moshe, that's it. You know. But Heyer Pnei Mizrach means it's not just 72 minutes is not it's just a generic number, but it's not enough. Mishnah Berurah really says you should wait until there's light on the eastern horizon. So in some way there's some light in the eastern horizon, then you could daven b'di'evit from then and l'chatchila from then if you have to. Now how do you measure that?
There's a list of different zmanim.
Every pick up whichever one you need, you know.
Right.
Right. 172, what?
You got 72, gross 72 minutes, manios 90 minutes, gross 90 minutes, 96 minutes, gross 96 minutes.
A little calendar.
Right. The calendar has that. How low? Right, correct, right. Like my, you know, you have everyone's man over there. So, like my father-in-law used to say, he said, you know, in the summer, there's always machlokes. The guy gets up to daven, you say Moreh Natal, you don't see Moreh Natal. Finally, everyone's okay, we're up to Mashiach Ruach. Then this one says Moreh Geshem, this is Moreh Goshem, and it's still machlokes. Everyone has their own. But.
At least we're all saying.
Right. So l'chatchila you're supposed to daven from the Neitz Hachama and on till 4 hours. B'di'eved. Davening Shmoneh Esrei. Kriyat Shema could be before. The zman for Kriyat Shema is Mishayakir. Mishayakir means is the zman. It's given in the Mishnah Brachos between to tell the difference between white and blue or green and blue, whatever. So Mishayakir is different opinions. The zman of Tzitzis and the zman of Shema is from Mishayakir. So that is not from 72 minutes. That's from like 50. There's different opinions. The opinions range from 35 minutes to 60 minutes. Anywhere, different opinions on that. So if you're davening at a minyan that, let's say, is going to hit Shmoneh Esrei, I think the minyanim, even the earliest minyanim, they wait to put on tefillin, right, till Mashiach. What? What? It's 6:40. So if you have a 6:20 minyan, Oh, she knows he behaves. He doesn't have his phone on. So most a minion that davens before the nates, they're davening Shema after Mishiyakir, and they put their tefillin on after Mishiyakir. If they're davening very early, so then what they'll do is that they'll say brachas till Yishtabach, and then they'll put on their tefillin to buy some extra time. Then they'll put on their tefillin, and then they'll start saying Shema, and then Shemoneh Esrei.
Can you say the first Shema without the three paragraphs?
Yeah. But now you don't fulfill the mitzvah with that. I'm saying the fulfilling of the mitzvah is after Mishiyakir. So Mishiyakir, tefillin, Shema, and then the nates. B'diavad is from Alois. Shemoneh Esrei is from Alois. If you need to, it's lechatchila. If you need to, for whatever reason, then it's already lechatchila to daven before the nates. Now, another interesting halacha is that it's a unique zman, because after Alois till the nates, theoretically, if you didn't daven Maariv yet, you can daven Maariv still, because it's still nighttime theoretically. So it's a zman, you can have two people davening next to each other. That one guy's davening Maariv, one guy's davening Shacharis, because that's what Gemara Bracha says. It's a zman that you could really go both ways. That's why it's b'dievet for both, because since it's not clear what it is, it's kind of night, kind of day. It's better to do everything before or after. But l'maisa, you're allowed to daven then if you need to. Now, what comes up a shaila is sometimes women have a shaila and men also is after 4 hours. So what do you do after 4 hours? So you're allowed to daven with chatzila. You're allowed to daven if you missed the zman for 4 hours. If you're late, that was the early zman. What about the late zman? So if you missed 4 hours, you're allowed to daven until chatzos. Now the Gemara says you don't fulfill the zman, the mitzvah of tefillah bizmanoi, but you fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah, because the mitzvah of tefillah you still daven. So therefore, from the fourth hour till the sixth hour, you can daven Shemoneh Esrei if you didn't daven yet. If it's not this month, tefillah. The shaila is, what about, when does mincha start? Mincha does not start after chatzos, exactly. Mincha starts a half hour after chatzos. So what if you didn't daven until chatzos, and now you remember right after chatzos, while it's still before the first half hour after chatzos, within the first half hour after chatzos? So what's the question? The question is, can you still daven shacharis? Because you can't daven mincha yet. It's not the Zman of Mincha. If it would already be the Zman of Mincha and you didn't daven Shacharis, so you daven two Minchas, assuming that you didn't do it on purpose. But if it's not the Zman of Mincha, so you could argue, okay, so it's not the Zman of Mincha yet, I may as well still daven Shacharis. Right? So, or do you say, no, since it's after Chatzos, it's not the morning, Shacharis means the morning. Chatzos is midday. After midday, you can't daven Shacharis anymore. So you gotta wait till Mincha. And that mincha, you're having two minchas. What do you do at that point? It's not an uncommon question. I've gotten this question a few times. What? Yeah. One time I got, in a text message, I got a shayla from someone that was in middle of davening Shemoneh Esrei, and it was after chatzos, before a half hour, and he says, should I continue? It was a lady. Just, can I continue davening, or should I wait till after mincha? So, whatever, but it happens.
Stand there and then just like stand there mid.
I'll look it up. I'm saying, you know.
So what happened? What was the decision on that?
Well, I remember that it was exactly. Actually, now you might. It was mamash almost exactly 3 years ago. That story.
And then what happened?
I was in Lakewood at the time. What?
And what was the decision?
So Lamaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, he says like this. He says. V'yesh mekilim b'hachati shosh achar chatzos uledina mashma m'pregadim she'en lozim tzakarav, that you shouldn't daven after chatzos shacharis. So if it's already chatzos and you didn't daven shacharis, wait till mincha and you got do two minchas. That in this case, that this lady was in the middle, she can continue because she was already middle. But normally that's not the halacha. Okay. So therefore, you know, you shouldn't do that. So that's the inyan of Zman Tefillah before and after. So, meaning you're busy the entire time. From the whole, from before the earliest time till after the last time. Till. So it's an oinus, means like, oinus means it's not your fault. You have no choice. You can't, you're not making a decision not to daven. You're
you
being
have a medical position, so your hours are right then.
If theoretically.
You don't get a break or a lunch or a.
So there's a tshuva written, by the way. It was a very interesting tshuva. There's a tshuva written to a ra. I don't remember which sefer it is now, but I read the tshuva. It was written to him from someone that was in Siberia. And he writes the tshuva that he says that if I wait till the zman that I'm already working and I won't be able to put on tefillin or daven, can I do it before the zman? Before Alois? That was the shayla.
I would say no, but you get credit as if you do.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I don't remember.
What you said before, though, so it would be allowed, that's even lechat kilo.
Right. Before, up to Alos.
But
right.
Putting
before
on
Alos, not, but up to Alos, then you'll have to put.
Davening or putting on tefillin?
So I think that I think the tshuva was dealing that maybe he's even allowed to put on tefillin. In such a case, I don't remember why, but he said maybe he's even allowed to put on tefillin and daven lechatchila at that point. If you don't have no choice, then you daven to minchas, I guess. If a person's on call the whole day, what's he supposed to do? Unless, if he can't carve out time, you know, for whatever reason, I mean. I don't know. I mean, that type of scenario, you really need to ask whoever it's Nogeyah to has to speak to. No, you have to know the details of the scenario. It's not a general, you know, scenario. But
that's a tough call.
Yeah.
Ask your local
examiner that knows the scenario. But otherwise, you know, on paper, if a person's nanas the whole time, he's nanas. But you know, there was a Rebbe Einemer. My Rebbe from Silver Spring was a big poisek. So there was someone that he had a very big job offer or whatever. He didn't have a job, and he finally got a job, and he needed to do it for whatever reason, and he was gonna have to go in on Shabbos for something. So he sat with the Rav for like 2 hours, going through everything, what he can do on Shabbos to go into the office, how he can get there, and this, that, and the other. No, he sat down every prat, they worked it all out. They worked it all out that he can go and he can do it all. And then as he leaves, the Rav says, he says, Aber was wird sein mit Shabbos? Well, nice, what's going to be with Shabbos? You can't go. Meaning, we worked the whole thing out that it's mutter.
You violate Shabbos, right. But you don't
he worked
Shabbos.
Out the whole thing was mutter. He spent time with him to show him the whole thing was mutter. And he tells him, but you can't go. The mice, you're not going to have Shabbos. Wow. So, you know, technically, if a person, you know, a person could go through a whole day without davening, you know. Anyway, okay. So, Lemaisa, the next couple of halachas that we're going to get to, we're not going to get to all tonight. But, okay, so now it's the Zman Tefillah, and you're going to go daven. Okay? What are the things that you're not allowed to do before davening? What is it that you're not allowed to do before davening? The first thing you got to do in the morning is you got to daven. And the reason why the first thing you have to do in the morning is you got to daven is because if you start doing something else before you daven, then what you're saying is, first of all, davening is not important. The other thing is more important. And more than that, you're also saying that I could successfully do the other thing without davening. Meaning, I can accomplish something, I can do it without going to daven first. Really, the statement that a person should make is, I can't be successful in my day without davening. Davening is I gotta start off the day davening. So therefore, that's what Chaim Friedlander says. The idea of these halachas that you can't do it is twofold. One is, like you're saying, you're showing the importance of something takes precedence over tefillah. Okay, that's one level. But the other level is even deeper than that. Is that who says that you're gonna be successful at what you're trying to do if you don't daven? You gotta make the statement, you gotta daven first, right?
guess.
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna. There's a whole bunch of restrictions. You know, business related matters, eating, different types of asakim before you dive in. But one I want to discuss now is the next halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Like I said, in order, is greeting people before davening. Okay, even this is nageh here in Florida, mamish a lot, because what happens is you have people here that people come to vacation and you recognize someone and you want to go over. The first time you see them is in shul. I just saw someone this morning. I was just preparing it, and I saw someone this morning who violated this halacha. This morning, he didn't know. I mean, it's on people's head mind. I just want to speak at the halacha because it's taka very nogea here. Especially, I noticed here it's very nogea because there's always vacationers and always people coming in and out all the time that aren't here the daily, you know, routine. So you're always constantly seeing new people. So the halacha is like this: that the Gemara says you're not allowed to greet someone before you daven. You're not allowed to greet someone before you daven, because there's different reasons for that. But it says if you go greet someone before you daven, ki'ilu asoi bama. It's like you made that person into a mizbeach. In other words,
you're greeting him before.
Yeah, so like he's a mizbeach, this guy, because I'm on my way to shul, and what am I saying? I didn't say shalom aleichem to Hashem. I said shalom aleichem to him first. It's what's the lashon in the Gemara? It says. Call up. Okay, I don't have the lashon of the Gemara here, but you're not supposed to do that. Okay, so now, what does that mean? So there's a couple different factors involved. Okay, and we'll work it out. One is going. There's three levels. Okay, one is the most cow levels. You bump into the person. And then there's another level, you're really going that direction. And once you go in that direction, you just stop off to say hello. You know, and then the other one is that you specifically go out of your way, your shul is here, or whatever is here, and you're going out of your way to go greet the person, okay? So it's forbidden to go out of your way to greet the person. You're not allowed to do that. Mishabura says, if you're already at your seat, putting on your tefillin, going towards his seat is like going out of your way. So that means, theoretically speaking, if you're beginning your davening, you're already in your seat, and you see a guy that just comes in for the winter, even to say, go out of your way, to go to his seat and say hello, you're not allowed to do that before davening.
What happens? You're on the way to shul and somebody...
Okay, so fine. So the next level is if you don't bump into the guy, then that's much lighter that you're allowed to say hello. Then the middle one is you're on your way and then you're walking, he's here, you're not totally going out of your way, but you're making a point of saying hello to the guy. So we'll see. The other factor is, are you saying hello or are you saying shalom aleichem? Shalom aleichem is much worse than saying hello. Why? Because shalom is the name of Hashem. So you're using the name of Hashem to greet this, to give kavod to someone else, and not to give kavod to him, to Hashem. So therefore, not allowed to say shalom. So therefore, the maskana. Oh, very good. So that makes it. Berachas Hashachar. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a difference. Yeah. I think it's Berachas Hashachar. Yeah. Maybe because a Torah is enough. Well, let's see. So if we're talking about you didn't daven anything, so then it's like this. To go out of your way, you're not allowed to go out of your way, even to say hello. If you bump into the person, there's opinions that you're even allowed to say shalom aleichem. But the middle one, which is pretty common, in other words, I'm not totally going out of my way. You know, he's not over there and I'm going, it's on my way, but I'm like, you know, let's say I'm walking into my seat. He's over there. So I just stop and say, oh, shalom aleichem. So that you're allowed to say good morning, but you're not allowed to say shalom aleichem. Okay? So you're always more safe. So you're always more safe if you're saying good morning as opposed to saying shalom aleichem. You say shalom aleichem, that's more common. So again, you're allowed to say, if you just bump into the person, there's a machlokes if you're allowed to say shalom aleichem or not. It's better to say good morning. If you didn't bump into him, but you're kind of just passing him by, you could say good morning, but you can't say shalom aleichem. But to go out of your way entirely, you can't even go out of your way to say good morning. Same thing. You can say good Shabbos, but you can't say shalom aleichem. Right. Same thing. Hey, if you're walking in the street and someone's passing, you say good Shabbos, that's totally fine.
But what about Shabbat Shalom? No, because that greeting.
I said, you're allowed to say good Shabbos.
Yeah.
So you say, you're allowed to say Shabbat Shalom. Because you're saying Shalom. That's a good one.
That's good. Yeah. Very good. I didn't catch that.
Ashkenaz is one of the problems.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a nice.
Hashtag smart.
That's a nice aura. Now what Pesach said was, what about if you started davening already? You said brachas. So once you said brachas, so then it's then you're allowed to. It's not 100% clear, but it seems like that according to many opinions, once you said brachas, then you're even allowed to say shalom aleichem. You're not allowed to go out of your way, but the middle case, which is, you know, you still wouldn't be allowed to go out to his seat and say shalom aleichem. But if you bump into him, then you would, or even if you mamish bump into him, but you're kind of going to say hello, you're allowed to say shalom aleichem as well if you've already said brachas. Let me see here if he says which brachas. I thought it was brachas shachar. You want to know about brachas Torah?
What if all this is happening before
Zman? Oh, if you right. So that's why we spoke at the first halachas first. if you're before alos, then you're allowed to still. But so here's an interesting question. A very nogea question. Are you allowed to make a phone call before davening to say hello to someone? Why is it nogea? It was nogea to me a few times because erev yomtiv or something like that. I want to call people in Eretz Yisrael. If I wait till after davening, they're going to be rushing, whatever. And I want to make a phone call. I want to say good yomtiv to someone before davening so that I catch them while it's still before yomtiv. So you're allowed to do that. So I saw over here in this sefer. I would have thought, if you ask me, that picking up the phone and to say hello is like going out of your way. Because you're going out of your way to say hello, you shouldn't do that before davening. If it's a parent for Kibbutz Av Ha'Em, then you're not doing it for to greet the person, you're doing it for a mitzvah. A mitzvah you're allowed to do before davening. That's why you're allowed to learn before davening. You're allowed to do a mitzvah before davening. So I would think, I would assume that to call a parent, something like that, you have to show kavod to, it's a mitzvah, or someone that needs chizik, whatever, if you're doing it for a mitzvah, just a friend, a social reason, then before davening, I would assume it's not, you shouldn't. He says in the sefer here that Bishim of Batal Stern, Batal Chokhmah, that there are makilim on this, but you still shouldn't say shalom on the phone. But you could say hello. If you don't say shalom aleichem, there are makilim that you're allowed to make a phone call before. But it does happen, l'maisa. You know, people are all different time zones, and you want to catch people different times. Sometimes the most convenient way is just.
I assume texting would fall into the same classification.
Today, texting and well, it depends what you're doing. If you're doing a business related matter,
yeah,
then that's going to fall into next week. We're going to talk about taking care of business or whatever before davening. But if you're just doing a greeting, yeah, it's like a phone call. Why, what do you think?
The same thing.
I would assume a text, an email, that's a phone call. Same thing. So there are makilim on the phone call to say good morning. Say shalom is a little more complicated. So Maisa, you know, people may tend to get like a little insulted. Like, you know, you didn't see me in 6 months. Like, what's going on, you know?
That's why it's different than
that.
I became firm and I can't talk to
him. That's why it's different than a text, because a text is not a business relationship.
That's what I said, if it's business.
Right, but no, but if you're meeting somebody, there's that problem of, you know what I mean? It's more. Like, a text you can ignore and get back to.
I just, there was a guy, there was someone here that it was away for 4 months. Not four, but it was away for a long time. I just saw him before davening. So I said, hello. I can't greet you, I didn't daven. It's nice to see you. I bumped into him. I didn't say shalom aleichem. I want to say shalom aleichem. I said hello, it's very nice to see you. I didn't daven yet, so I'm not going to greet you.
So that's good, because now you're teaching Torah.
Yeah, you know.
Tell them how
it's being described.
This is the Torah.
So, but... But, you know, so you, the person doesn't have to be insulted. But in that case, I had bumped it. In that case, you know, I saw him. In a case that you're allowed to say hello, you're not allowed to say Shalom Aleichem. So you can say hello, you know. Now, the tricky part is if you see the person and he knows that you saw him, but you're in your seat, go out of your way and say hello. That could be not so simple. So, so you know.
You go like this.
Yeah, no, so you do is so you send him a text. according to the opinions that if the rabbi doesn't kick you out for texting and during davening. So fine. So anyway, that's the. But again, the idea is to start off your day with the tefillah. That's the goal. Okay, so next week I want to talk about is the business related matters and eating and drinking before David. Okay, shkoyach.